Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we're still looking at Romans 16:25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. And you, by now, if you've been listening to the broadcast regularly, know that Paul tells us that Christians are established by three things. By the gospel, or my gospel, as Paul puts it, by the preaching of Jesus Christ, and by the revelation of the mystery. Now, it's not that these are three things entirely separate. There certainly are some, they very much blend together, but these are different aspects of the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more we understand the gospel as presented by Paul in the book of Romans, the more we understand the person and work of Jesus Christ, which is proclaimed in various ways, the more we understand the mystery, which was concealed by God for a long time but revealed in these latter days, the more we understand these things, the more we are established. Now, maybe I can give you just one aspect, one additional aspect, perhaps I should say, of the fuller gospel as explained by Paul in the book of Romans, which will show you what I mean by becoming better established by the gospel. The gospel which establishes you. And I'm thinking about one of the primary doctrines that grew out of what is called by many people the Protestant Reformation. And that is the doctrine of justification. All believers, all Protestant believers, all Protestant Christians, I should say, believe in justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That really is what sparked the Protestant Reformation. The doctrine of justification is the heart of the gospel. But let's look at it a little more carefully. The Protestant Reformation, as you probably know, was a very tumultuous time. It's a time when Christians were within the Church of Rome, were coming to question many of the teachings of the Church of Rome. Many of the teachings of the Church of Rome came under close scrutiny, and some of them were so ghastly that they were even downplayed by Rome because of what happened in the Protestant Reformation. The sale of indulgences, for example, which was the sale of coupons, we might say, tickets, which were supposed to buy time off your sentence in purgatory if you would pay a price. Ghastly things like that. Purchasing time out of purgatory, out of judgment. That was to raise money, by the way, to build a St. Paul's Cathedral in Rome. So a lot of things were going on, a lot of tumultuous time as the Roman Catholic Church seemed to be going farther and farther in areas of departure from the scriptures, and more of her own people were beginning to rise up in protest against it. The early Protestants did not start out to separate from Rome. Their idea was to reform. The Protestant Reformation was, first of all, an attempt to reform the Church of Rome, to bring it back to the scriptures. And when that proved to be impossible, when the resistance toward that was so great that there was no possibility of seeing Rome change, nor of these reformers remaining within a church that would not change, then the separation eventually occurred, and the Protestant Reformation began this separating process, whereby it's gone on ever since. More and more and more and more groups, denominations, people of all different stripes that have departed from the Church of Rome, which had been the main church in the Western world for hundreds of years. But back to this question of justification. What do the Roman Catholics teach regarding justification, which is different from the Protestant view of justification? Remember, we're talking about the gospel which establishes you. If you will understand these things, you will be better established in the Christian faith. This is not just textbook types of discussion. This is not just seminary level discussion. We're talking about the gospel which establishes you. If you know anything about the book of Romans, you know that the doctrine of justification is one of Paul's major themes. Chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. Major emphasis upon the doctrine of justification. Now, what is the Roman Catholic view? It was clearly laid out in the Council of Trent, 1545 to 1563. This same doctrine, spelled out at Trent in those Reformation days, was reaffirmed by the Second Vatican Council in the 1960s. So we can't say that Rome's view has changed since the 1500s. Rome insists that their doctrine of justification is the correct one, and it will not be reformed. It cannot be reformed. All right, let me read to you a few of the statements from the Council of Trent. Quote, if anyone says that the sinner is justified by faith alone, let him be anathema. Shall I read that again? If anyone says that the sinner is justified by faith alone, let him be anathema. Anathema, of course, means damned, cursed. Here's another one, quote, if anyone says that men are justified either by the sole imputation of the justice of Christ or by the sole remission of sins, let him be anathema. Again, quote, if anyone says that justifying faith is nothing else than confidence in divine mercy, which remits sins for Christ's sake, let him be anathema. And again, quote, if anyone says that good works are merely the fruits and signs of justification, but not the cause, let him be anathema. Let me read that one again. If anyone says that good works are merely the fruits and signs of justification, but not the cause, let him be anathema. Now, are you beginning to understand why there was a Protestant Reformation and why there is this great difference between Protestants and Catholics in regard to the way of salvation, in regard to the doctrine of justification? Rome says that good works are the cause of justification, at least in part, whereas the Protestant Reformation said that justification is by grace alone through faith alone, that good works are the fruit of justification, or the sign, that is the evidence of justification, but not the cause of it. Now, these things are obviously contradictory and irreconcilable. Those who are trying to find common ground between Protestants and Rome and bring together the Roman Catholic branch of Christianity to Protestant Christianity and to bring about reconciliation. We have a movement today called Evangelicals and Catholics Together, those who are trying to bring it together, I'm afraid are very mistaken as to the possibility of what it is they're trying to achieve, because unless there is a shift, unless the Protestants are willing to give up the doctrine of justification by grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone, and perhaps some of them are, but I'm certainly not, or unless Rome is willing to give up her position that justification is not by faith alone, but is also caused by good works, these two things are not reconcilable. If Rome's not willing to give up that position, then there's no way that evangelicals or Protestants and Catholics can come together. We have two different gospels. Here's another statement out of the Council of Trent. Quote, if anyone says that after the reception of the grace of justification, the guilt is so remitted and the debt of eternal punishment so blotted out to every repentant sinner that no debt of temporal punishment remains to be discharged in this world or in purgatory before the gates of heaven can be opened, let him be anathema. Now, did you hear that? Anyone who says that the grace of justification, that in the grace of justification, the guilt of sins, the guilt of the sinner, is so remitted, and the debt of eternal punishment so blotted out to every repentant sinner, that no debt of temporal punishment remains to be discharged in this world or in purgatory before the gates of hell can be opened, let him be anathema. In other words, Rome teaches that, yes, sinners' sins are justified by faith in Christ, but only in part. And you still got to pay for your sins in this life. That's the temporal punishment that remains, according to them. And you've got to conclude paying for your sins beyond the grave in purgatory before you can go to heaven. And they insist that this is what is correct, the correct understanding of salvation. So, how are you going to bring together that? Now, here's the problem that justification addresses. The question of how can sinful men be made right with God? Or to put it another way around, how can the absolutely holy God, who requires perfection in his creatures, receive sinners into his presence? And for that to occur, two things must happen. Number one, the penalty which God's justice demands must be met and paid in full. And number two, there must be a positive keeping of the law of God so that God can reward those who are justified with everlasting life. In other words, the two aspects that are required are, number one, deliverance from hell, the just punishment for every sinner, and number two, entrance into heaven, which can only be gained by a perfect righteousness. That's what is required for a sinner to be saved. That's what is required for a holy God to receive a sinner into his presence. His guilt must be paid. His debt must be discharged, and he must have a righteousness which meets God's requirements. Now that's what the doctrine of justification addresses. And that is the heart of the gospel. And if we will understand this, we will understand the gospel better. And if we will understand this, we will be so much better established in the Christian faith. And so if you will join me again tomorrow, we'll take it up at this point, and Lord willing, we'll move forward a little bit more. Until then, Greg Barkman, Bible Teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying, good day, may God give you His eternal peace.